ClassicCountry909.org and the Radio Alabama app.
Classic Country 90.9.
All things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drug Store, Perry Land Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
Good afternoon for the second installment of Football Fiesta, live from the First Bank Alabama studios right here on the east side of the Clay County Courthouse Square. This is Rusty Taylor. I am joined by Coach Chris Herron and Coach Jerry Weems. We'll be looking back in the first segment at last week's win over the Hanley Tigers 26-3. Then in the second segment, there about 6:15, we'll be having our AGL, Solid Waste Authority Player of the Game, presented by Awards to Remember. JT Wilkerson with his position coach in here, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Chase Horn will be joining us for that segment. Then about 6:30, we'll be looking at Benjamin Russell for about 15 minutes and that matchup for tomorrow night. And then the last segment, we'll be looking at our schedule, how they fared, and then the 5A top 10. And if we have any time, we'll continue to move along through that. But good afternoon, man. Good to be back in here. It feels like we just run home, had us a bite, and come back. But it's good. It's good to be back.
And we had us a bite when we got here.
Yes, we did. We've been taking care of her. Yeah, boy, our listeners and stuff take care of us.
Awesome.
And ever. This is good stuff. It's good stuff, which I knew who brought it. It was going to be, we appreciate Ms. Wilkerson hooking us up there. So good stuff. And, you know, if you hear us mumbling a little bit, you know what's happening. We've are the aluminum foil rattling. Coach Weems has done opened her back up. But let's look back quickly at last week's game. Volunteers, you know, come out, finally established field position. I think field position was the thing early. And once we established and got field position, every time we started with good field position, we scored and kind of took control of that game a little bit there. Really, it's hard to say take control, but it felt that way there in the second quarter because they just was not establishing much on offense after a little bit there in the first drive. We held them to under 100 yards total offense, and, you know, we run the football well and defeated them 26-3. But Coach Weems, let's go back to mainly on the offensive side of the football. First of all, JT Wilkerson getting his first start there at quarterback. Just speak to the official start. Just speak to how that went.
Well, you know, Coach Horn emphasized all summer and during the fall camp that it felt like we needed to run the ball more this year. And we did that. You know, we were very effective with our running game, and as evidenced by almost 250 yards rushing. And I think that enabled us to, you know, we kind of utilized the short passing game, kind of a ball control type passes, and we were very effective. JT, 10 of 11 throwing the ball, and you're right, the field position was key. Our first touchdown came after they punted out of bounds, I think, at the 48. And so we had a short field to work with on that drive and capitalized on some good running plays and scored. And then we created a turnover with a pass interception that set up another short field. And so we were ahead 13-0 pretty quick. And, you know, the only negative there was missing the extra point. And I'm sure the coaches worked on that during this week. But we ran the ball effectively. And, you know, from the other side, looking at it from the defensive side, we saw what today is kind of an unconventional offensive setup with them running an I formation. And that's what they stayed in the first half. You don't see many people now with a fullback and a tailback back behind the quarterback. But that's what we saw, some old-fashioned football. They tried to make it a physical game, but You know, I guess you could say they came to the wrong place if they wanted a physical game, because we were able to handle their running game, shut them down. And as you mentioned, they had 97 yards rushing and no pass completions throughout the game. And their quarterback actually got most of the rushing yards. So overall, I think it was a very good game. I think we won the line of scrimmage. You know, the offensive line bounced back from not an impressive showing at Fort Payne. They bounced back and had a terrific game this past Friday against Handley, and certainly we'll need that tomorrow night.
Well, Coach Herron, I know we were getting grades, and you ever actually gave a Herron's Hog
That's
of
right.
the week this week, something you started. But speak a little bit of, first of all, about, I mean, on the offensive side and about the offensive line play. We talked about could be a strength of the team coming into the year. There were some question marks after the Fort Payne game, but it seems like that was shored up pretty good, and they had a good night on Friday night.
Yeah, across the front, those five guys across there, they, you know, some, you play the Jamboree. One reason you play it, it kind of exposes some things and lets you know in a game situation some of the things you need to work on before you get into that first counter game and the regular season gets started. Up there at Fort Payne, we saw some issues we had in pass protection, some issues we had in some of our pulling game, you know, too much depth sometimes and not able to make a good kick out block, and it wound up being some logs when we wanted kickouts, that type thing. So a lot of things I know they worked on last week, you know, across the front with those guys, and it showed Friday night. We came in there against Handley, a very athletic defensive front. You know, everybody, we talk about we want to grade in the blue. That means 70% or higher. We had that all the way across the board. You know, leading that the way there was Noah Peterson, the senior left tackle. He graded at 84%. He was the Hog of the Week. Cole Rice, the senior left guard, he graded out at 83. Then you had Dewey Brown at right guard last week. He graded out at 77. Chance Helms, our senior center, graded out 76. And Clayton Tomlin, the sophomore right tackle, after a, you know, kind of a rough go of it there at Fort Payne and some issues that he had there his first time. They're in some varsity action. Got some things cleaned up. He worked at it hard. He's a hard worker. He's a strong young man. And he wound up grading out at 75%. So the blue all the way across the board there, as Coach Williams referenced, you know, being able to control the line of scrimmage. We ran the ball 41 times for 248 yards. And when you can have that many yards rushing, there's some good things happening along the line of scrimmage. We gave up no sacks in the game last week, only 11 pass attempts. So that's a positive for those guys after some of the issues we had seen at Fort Payne. So progress was made. You know, we saw marked improvement. We always talk about between games one and two, and there was, you know, you could see some improvement last Friday night against the Handley Tigers.
Well, we look over a little bit more at the defensive side. Leading the charge there on the defensive front was Trenton Glenn. He actually graded out at 87% and had six solo tackles on the night for a big night. Also, Taylor Boyd had six assists from his safety spot. You know, even though he's playing a good bit of offense and stuff, to be over there and making a difference on the defensive side. So those guys kind of led the charge. But when you look at the total in tackles, you had the good performances from Cam Mullins there from his linebacker spot. Also, Cole Watts. Cam had five solos and four assists. Cole had five and five. So those two inside linebackers, which, you know, it's our defensive setup most of the time to kind of take up blockers and keep them off of our linebackers, and the linebackers done a good job filling the hole. You know, they come out with, I wouldn't necessarily call it a quarterback sneak, but almost a quarterback, almost a quarterback trap play, but they wasn't pulling offensive lineman. I think they were blocking down with that H-back, sniffer back. Mm-hmm. But I look right there, and that's kind of different. That's that big, strong quarterback. And that quick hitter is tough to stop, and it kind of hit us in the mouth and was adjustment. I mean, you don't practice that play, but we adjusted and stiffened up and did well. And, you know, the kicking game was kind of, you know, not terrible, but not great. Had room for improvement. We missed the first extra point and was kind of chasing a little bit from there in rhythm. We had some good kickoffs, and then we had some not so good. Punting was okay, but just, you know, Not terrible, and the penalty yards, you know, not awful either on a penalty side. We keep that under 50 there, and I think for us, the physicality we play with, I mean, let's be honest, we play with a lot of physicality. We're going to be penalized. We're going to get some holds, and my opinion as offensive lineman, if we're not getting some holds, then we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, just to be
tough. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you don't get a couple of games, you're not doing something right.
Well, I mean
– you don't want them, but I mean, if it don't happen.
If you just look at the history of it,
they're not going to call it every play.
If you're not getting – called for holding, then your offensive, every once in a while, your offensive line's not very good. Yes. And that's my opinion. And
I always felt like if you got holding, you wasn't coaching.
Nah,
But now, as an offensive lineman, I would say, I think most of them holes came on our wide receivers. And lots of times they do because they're out there on the island and everybody sees what they're doing. So that is true. But overall, I think, you know, that was good. We knew we did get a couple guys banged up. And, you know, that's an issue moving forward a little bit. And hopefully some of these guys get well really, really quick. And some of them as quickly as tomorrow night and available to play. So that's always an issue. But a big win, anytime you defeat Hanley and you defeat them, you know, pretty handedly, so to speak, that's a good night. And I, looking back at Hanley real quick, I thought a very well-coached team. They did good stuff. They had a great game plan. That you know, trying to hold the ball and kind of keep the ball away from us,
limiting our possessions,
run the football with the quarterback, which is their best athlete, and then they come out in the second half, kind of in a wildcat type look, and you know, made adjustments and made it tough for us again. So it really mounted their good drive of the game that brought points on the board. But thank goodness our offense had came out, took the ball. That was a key. When you look back at it, the interception, I think our Piggly Wiggly key of the game, Coach, if I remember, was Taylor Boyd's interception and then us, you know, going ahead and finishing that drive right there, starting inside the 30, and then turn around the second half, we take that kick, and then we go and score. And that really locked it in. You know, they came out, mounted a drive, and got a few points, but those were big, big, big times. And kind of once we had that drive to start the second half, the way they play offense, they were behind the eight ball big time. Y'all get anything else about last week's game before we bring our AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Game and Player of the Week and talk to him and Coach Chase on?
Rusty, you did mention some people getting banged up a little, and you know, I'm sure that the coaching staff, you know, we don't want to disclose a whole lot of information, but we'll probably have some new guys filling some spots this week, manning some spots, and our depth will be tested somewhat in those positions. And I think maybe a couple of them as offensive guys, maybe one on the defensive front. And I think, you know, JT status, you know, anytime any team loses their quarterback, it's going to have an effect offensively. But, you know, we'll talk more about that later when Coach Horn talks with us.
Well, we're going to take our first break right here on Football Fiesta live from First Bank Alabama Studios here at Classic Country 90.9. Stick around. We'll come back. We'll have our AGL, Solid Waste Authority, Player of the Week, and also Coach Chase Horn in here with us. So you'll want to stick around right here on Classic Country 90.9.
Catch 'em All Sporting Goods in Ashland, next to Circle K, offers hunting gear, fishing supplies, firearms, and ammunition. Their selection includes rods, reels, tackle, rifles, shotguns, and handguns. Hunting supplies are available for deer, turkey, and dove. Information is available on Facebook or by phone at 256-252-1001. Catch 'em All Sporting Goods is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys assist clients in auto and motorcycle accidents, 18-wheeler collisions, boating accidents, wrongful death, medical malpractice, premises liability, and workplace injuries, and is known for compassionate, informed representation. Attorneys handle each case personally, not through case managers. Info is available at tpharlaw.com, tpharlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert, stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwood is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9. And Football Fiesta live from First Bank Alabama Studios here on the Ashland Square as we are bringing in right now. That echo over there is getting me, Coach. That gets me. We are bringing in our AGL, Solid Waste Authority, Player of the Week, and that being JT Wilkerson. Good to have you, JT.
Sir, good to be here.
And we also have – oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm not used to having that. That's not using an option. That's pretty cool. I like your headphones too here. But we also have offensive coordinator, quarterback coach here, Coach Chase Horn. Coach Horn, good to have you with us.
Thank y'all, guys.
Maybe you'll come back many more times throughout the year. So it's always a good sign when an offensive coordinator comes in. That's usually a good sign. So looking back at JT's week last week on his first start there, JT rushed the ball 11 times for 52 yards, one touchdown. He also was 10 for 11 passes for 75 yards. He had 4 solo tackles and 2 assists. So starting both ways, had a big night. Of course, there towards the end of the game, got bummed up just a little bit. But we're gonna focus on everything that happened before that. And a really good night. And I want to start with you, Coach Horn. I mean, he went 10 for 11 for 75 yards. Had some really good rushes, running the ball, made some great decisions. Just speak to his night at quarterback.
Yeah, I thought, you know, not having played it a whole lot, I mean, he's been my backup quarterback up to this year, and he stepped into that role this spring and did an excellent job leading the team and, you know, taking all the responsibilities that come with being the quarterback, knowing everything that's got to what everyone's got to do. And I had all the confidence that he could do it, and he stepped up last Friday and did an excellent job all around getting people lined up. You know, 10 out of 11, that's a pretty good percentage.
Coach Heron wants to know what happened on the 11-11. Why did he not go 11 for 11? That sounds like an offensive line guy.
The defensive back made a good play.
Made a good play, that's right.
And sometimes you got to tip your hat to him.
It was kind of a third and long, too, wasn't it, on that play. So it was tough.
But he does a great job in just making smart decisions throughout the entire game. And it was good to watch. It makes it a lot easier on me, and knowing no matter what I call, he can get them lined up, because sometimes I'll mess that up too, and he can get people in the right position and to make good decisions. So I was just extremely pleased in the way he played.
Having 4 solos, 2 assists, of course you remember the day of playing both ways, but it's few and far between to have your quarterback back in the secondary, and you played well on defense as well. anytime you hold a team, we talk about they didn't complete a pass. Well, I'll give our defensive front and our secondary a lot of credit because, you know, watching him on film, and we know he played – we've watched that kid play quarterback a couple of years. They can throw the football, and they have some weapons downfield. So you guys done a good job. But, JT, looking back at last week, how did you – how would you grade yourself in your performance last week, honestly?
I'd say I did pretty well. Coach Horn made it easy for me with the 10 for 11. A lot of them were the shorter passes, but it was great to come out and control the line of scrimmage and move the ball well. And I thought that was a big key to the game was being able to control the field position. That was what Coach Horn said was going to be a big key, and I feel like we did a really well job at that. So,
absolutely. A lot of zip on some of those balls, on even though some of those routes may seem easy, but the timing, giving some receivers opportunity to make a few extra yards, you were able to do that, put the ball where it needed to be to allow the receivers to make some extra yardage after the catch, which was big as well. Thinking about that, I think about you. We've talked about you playing in the secondary. You kind of started your career back at safety, which is where you've been moved back to. And then you came back in last year to outside linebacker. This year at quarterback, of course, and they're not going to let their quarterback play outside linebacker. We'll put you back there at safety and kind of protect you somewhat. But you made the move back. But you playing in the secondary and an outside linebacker, how does that help you from the quarterback spot as much defense as you played when you're looking over a defense?
Well, I mean, it's as far as the experience, I kind of know what their jobs are, and with my reads, I know what to expect, and certain routes, I know what they might want to jump and what might be open depending on what their assignments are. But it helps out a lot on certain routes to know what they might be looking at and what routes they're going to be jumping more than the other ones and what might be open. So,
well, that I think it was a power pass there where you run your last play there. You ran for a big first down there that kind of locked the game in. That was a big play, but that pump fake and got that guy in the air. I'm a Steelers fan, and that's something Ben Roethlisberger could always do. He wasn't much of a runner, but they thought he was going to run because when he'd done that full pump fake, he'd get a lot of people in there. And seeing you do that, that's not as easy as it looks to control the football and not lose it. And that was a big play to let you get upfield and get that first down. Of course, we know you ended up getting banged up on that play, but it was a great play, honestly, in a hard-nosed run. So that was one of the more impressive plays to me because it was you and that guy. There was nobody to block him for you there, and you got him up in there and got outside. So that was impressive. Coach Weems, speak a little bit to both of these JT and Coach Weems.
Let me ask Coach Horn here something. You know, you mentioned the fact that that JT's played some quarterback in the past, and of course, we all know what kind of player he is, how he competes, and how, you know, play smart. But his quarterbacking in the past, most of it at the varsity level, had been done kind of in the mop-up situations at the end of games and all. And I'm just wondering if you had any apprehension or any second thoughts about JT, how he was going to perform at quarterback coming into this year.
Well, I mean, you always have a little bit just because he hadn't played it in a true varsity game. And like you said, he came in there towards the end. I mean, we'd put him in some at, when it got short yardage or goal line and let him run. But, you know, throughout the spring and summer, he kind of showed where he can make the reads and he knew what to do. So, I mean, I had all the confidence going out there Friday that no matter what I called or what happened, he was in control and he could make a play for us at any time. So,
well, I know JT's the type guy that he didn't have any second thoughts.
He shouldn't.
I mean, he knew what he was going to do when he got out there and did a terrific job the first time out. And give us an update on your injury, on your knee.
I started therapy on it yesterday, and they said timeline's around 4 weeks probably. So just got to get to work on it and get back to where I need to be. So,
you feel fortunate, I suppose,
yes, being
able to at least play half the year and then going into the playoffs.
Yes, sir. I got blessed.
You know, we were all concerned, and we're glad that it turned out like it did, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot of people – thinking and praying for JT last week and caring, and as Clay County does, and you know that, to get those. And of course, you know, I mean, if we're honest, we're concerned about our team and you, and what that can mean, because we realize how important you are to the football team and how important you are to your school and everything else. So that was good news. But I was – another thing I wanted to speak about is JT's ability to run the football. It can be a – you know, a lot of people, because he's such a tall, long strider, you know, it don't look as fast, and he's running away from folks, beating angles, really smart with it, really good at like a quarterback power, quarterback lead stuff where he's squaring his shoulders up and he's a load to bring down.
Yeah.
I go back to like Boyd. And of course, I think JT's got, you know, they're different, but then they're also bringing something.
Right.
You know, they're not your normal quarterback when they get at a secondary guy or even a linebacker. They'll lower the shoulder and go. So
yeah, they can do – I mean, both of them really smart, and they make good decisions, and they can get those extra yards. I mean, when he's running, you don't realize he's striding four yards, it feels like. It's so long. But he did a great job stepping up in the pocket a couple times when nothing was open and scrambling and getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards, which, I mean, that's big for an offense if you can step up and just gain yards at any time. And he did a great job, like you said, running the ball, hitting those short passes that we have, easy reads, just take what the defense gives you.
And he also gives you an added dimension in short yardage situations.
Yeah, short yardage, quarterback power. It's almost like you got an extra blocker with that running back, so you can overload him like that. And we'd ran that several times, and he I knew when I called it we were going to get the first down because he was going to make it. And he just did an excellent job last Friday.
Just a smart player, knows where he needs to get, just kind of like he did on that last play where he actually got hurt. I mean, he knew where he needed to get and what he needed to do, and he was just doing what he was supposed to do, and it's just one of those things that can happen in the game, but you hate to see it. And but, you know, just hustling and running hard and got the first down and got first and goal there. So a good hustle. Well, at this time, I think it's the correct time. We're going to award JT Wilkerson with the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, presented by Awards to Remember. It goes to JT Wilkerson in the Volunteers 26-3 victory over Hanley on August the 22nd, 2025. Congratulations, JT, and here's your plaque, buddy.
Thank you.
You got anything else you'd like to say and anybody you'd like to thank?
I'd like to thank my coaches for the work they put in for the game, my teammates, and God, and I'm blessed. So,
absolutely.
Just tell them you'll be back.
I'll be back, yeah.
Well, Coach Horn, before we go, we want to also give you a chance to speak to anything about JT or anything else moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, we all prayed for him. I think God answered our prayers and that it wasn't as bad as we were hoping, so I'm thankful for that. I think overall our coaches and team did a great job last Friday, and I just hope that we continue to work hard like we have been, and we're going to do our best. I mean, I know we're down a couple, but I promise we're going to show up, and we're going to play hard and do things the right way, just like everyone here in Clay County expects, and we just hope everyone comes out tomorrow and supports us, and just know it. We're going to give it our all. We appreciate what all you do, and thank y'all.
Well, we appreciate having a team and a group of coaches and players like you guys to call each Friday night or Thursday night, tomorrow night, but each week night, because everybody don't have that. And we know we're going to get you guys best each week, and that makes it an honor to be able to get up there in the booth and call it. So, we appreciate what you guys do as well. We're going to take our second break here, right here on Football Fiesta Live on Classic Country 90.9.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
at Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With two locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.9.
Catch 'em All Sporting Goods in Ashland. Nexus Circle K offers hunting gear, fishing supplies, firearms, and ammunition. Their selection includes rods, reels, tackle, rifles, shotguns, and handguns. Hunting supplies are available for deer, turkey, and dove. Information is available on Facebook or by phone at 256-252-1001. Catch 'em All Sporting Goods is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live on Classic Country 90.9. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weens. We've just had Coach Offensive Coordinator Chase Horn and also Quarterbacks Coach, and then our AGL, Solid Waste Authority, Player of the Week presented by Awards to Remember. Coach Herron, you know, you kind of give up your opportunity during that time each week, but we want to give you an opportunity to talk about what you've witnessed with JT and you know, him being awarded that award last week. Of course, you were part of that. Just speak to that real quick.
Well, you know, JT, impressive young man. He's been playing, starting in some position for varsity football since his ninth grade year. You know, started more of a defensive guy and worked his way over, you know, to some offense, some H-back, tight end last year, outside linebacker, rolling into this starting quarterback role this year. First, you know, it's been just – he's one of those guys you've been able to witness his development as a football player and the young man he is, and he's become and that it just – it speaks to him, his family, you know, his mom and dad and his grandparents. He's got his great support that he has from his family around him. And he's – you know, he's – it doesn't surprise you. He's had success as he stepped into that starting role at quarterback. You know, we know a lot of times a quarterback gets, you know, he gets a lot of credit when things go well. He takes a lot of blame when things go, you know, don't go as well sometimes. But JT's the kind of guy. He's one of those guys. You're proud to see him have success. You hate what happened to him last Friday night, but you know it wasn't as bad as it was thought it could have been. He's going to be back in a few weeks. I know his rehab. I mean, he's one of those. He'll do exactly what they ask him to do and working to get back quick as he can. And you know, I tell you what will be important is it'll be interesting to watch. And we could ask as we go through this the next couple of weeks, you know, he's still going to be there. He's going to be around practice. He's around those guys. He'll be there on Friday nights. And that leadership he provides, even though it won't be on the field for a few weeks, and you know, in the middle of the action there, he's still on the sideline encouraging, and he'll that part of his role will even grow, and he's able to incur, work with the guys that are, you know, a couple of folks in some new spots, and just his leadership is something that will still be there, and he'll still be a part of the next few weeks until he's able to be back out there.
Well, you know, everybody's obvious. They know about the quarterback spot, and the quarterback out on the field is kind of the leader of the offense. And Coach Chase Horn mentioned him being able to get people lined up. But it don't stop on offense. Him at safety, knowing everything that's going on, being able to move people around, make sure, same difference, him playing safety right on defense. So it's kind of the quarterback of the defense somewhat, mm-hmm, from that safety spot. But he will be on the side. I know he'll be talking to the players and giving them input. And, you know, if there's somebody that can do things and work hard to get himself back any earlier, that he'll be the young man that that would do it. So
absolutely,
we're pulling for JT as we always are, and he's easy to pull for. He's that type of kid that does the things that you ask him to do, and all that stuff. So we're very proud of JT. But right now we're going to focus on tomorrow night's opponent, the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. They come into this game 0-1, but they fell in a close one to 7A, a good 7A team in Opelika, 26-20 last week. They're led now by Coach Kirk Johnson. Most people remember Coach Johnson as we faced him in the playoffs last year at Montgomery Catholic and went on to win the 5A state championship. You know, Coach Johnson comes in, Coach Weems, with an unbelievable 55-3 record for his coaching career. That's about as impressive it can be in a first 58 games. And first of all, we've seen teams we've played against teams he's led, and they're well coached, well prepared. They do good stuff, and we expect nothing less tomorrow night, especially after watching them on film this week.
And what's more impressive about that record? He didn't have but two losses till last week.
That's right.
And he lost to 7A Opelika. But, he went 55-2. The only place he's been a head coach was at Catholic, and that's where he built up that impressive record. But, if you look at his resume, he's been at some good places and actually worked at Auburn as an analyst one year at the university. So he's been around some good coaches. He knows what he's doing, and his teams are well coached. And
At Pleasant Grove one time? Wasn't he assistant at Pleasant Grove?
He was at Pleasant Grove one time.
And then we know their program. So he's been at multiple winning programs. I mean, you just said he was at Auburn, so he's multiple winning programs, right?
But
all honesty, a good coach. I think he was chosen this season to coach the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, and that's an honor to be the head coach of that.
I think he's the head coach. And, of course, he's coming in replacing Smitty Grider that was at Benjamin Russell there for several years. And the key to it, him coming, is he brought some good players with him from Catholic down in Montgomery. And, in fact, their starting quarterback is one. So he's changed everything at Benjamin Russell, and it's going to be a challenge, no doubt, for the Volunteers.
Well, Coach, you mentioned it, and we'll just stay right there on that Benjamin Russell Wildcat offense as we look around. But, you mentioned Kingston pre-year. He's a 6'3". We played against him last year as a freshman. It's hard to believe he's a sophomore. But I think right now he's a number one player in that class. And what is it, 28 class in the state of Alabama. I think he's – I believe Auburn offered him this week, if I didn't mistakenly see that. But he's got offers anyway already, with three seasons to play. But you just look forward to him. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. But looking out there at wide receiver, they got a couple of guys. Sadarian Morgan, we were able to see him last year, and he kind of tried to bring them back into the game as the Volunteers had got a pretty good lead. And then B.J. Bedgood, those two guys are both very, very impressive players. Morgan right now is committed to Alabama. He's the number one recruit in the state of Alabama in high school. And Coach, when you look back at that film last week, you can see why. That big, I don't know, was 85, pushing 90-yard little drag route across the middle, and he just goes.
Well, and he's going to cause some matchup problems for us as well, being 6'4". And, Bedgood, both of them are speedsters, so when we have young guys, new inexperienced guys there at the corners, and, they'll move Morgan around. They'll put him in the slot some. They'll put him at wide receiver some. So we're going to have some definite matchup problems with those two guys.
Well, when you look back at last week, Morgan had a big first half, but Opelika kind of changes how they were defending him. And then guess what? B.J. Bedgood has an outstanding second half and kind of stood out there. So that's the thing. If you can kind of control one guy, but when you got two receivers that you got to control, but be expecting some double team action from the Volunteer defense, they're going to have to at times double team, maybe bracket these guys or do different things to try to keep them from breaking big plays. But when you do that, coach, you're susceptible to the run. And keep that in mind. They can run the football as well. Got some good size on the offensive line, and they're able. You know, a lot of seniors and juniors all up front. Some of those guys, you know, been starting for a few years, so they can present challenges offensively all over the field.
Well, no question. And you know, you mentioned the fact that they move them around kind of prevents you from being able to double them. You know, you might could lock them down if they lined up in the same place every time, but they're not going to do that. And you're right. The secondary has got to be involved in the running game, and if they're preoccupied with pass defense, then we're going to suffer on run defense as well. So this is definitely a challenge defensively for us, and I'm just glad I'm not the guy that's in charge of the defense to go out there tomorrow night.
When you turn over and look at them on defense, coach, you know they've got some very good players, and we see B.J. Bedgood starts at corner as well. But they also have some youth. They got a couple guys up on the front that are sophomores, really juniors and sophomores across the front. Not a lot of upperclassmen there. They do have two senior linebackers. I was really impressed with the Chappelle. Charles, number 9, and he impressed me there watching film on him. But you know, the defense is very good, very solid, but it's not quite as impressive, really, honestly, as the offense is for the Wildcats. But when you got an offense like they do, it gives a little comfort there to that defense.
Well, and you look at their defense, they'll be in a 4-man front, and those two inside guys, those two down guys, both sophomores. But, you know, I've watched them on film, and they don't look like sophomores. I think that's going to be a challenge right there to our offensive line is controlling, because one of them, Davis, is 285, and the other one, Edwards, is 270. So that's going to be a problem for our two offensive guards right there on those two guys. And that's where, you know, the strength of that 4-man front comes from the inside two people, and they have two good ones there.
Well, Coach Heron, what's your take? I know you've been able to watch Benjamin Russell and watch him on tape, on film a good bit. We still call tape, we're old school. I guess either one of it's not film or tape these days.
No, it ain't neither one of them, is it?
But we're going to keep calling it that. We probably always will. But mm-hmm. when you look at him, what stands out to you about the Ben Russell walk?
Well, the thing about it, sometimes they'll be in it's a 3-man, it'd be an odd front. Sometimes it's a 4. They walk down the outside linebacker sometimes, slide it across and move it over. You know, they don't do it. Last week in their first game against Opelika, you didn't get a lot of there wasn't a lot of stunts. There wasn't a lot of movement. You know, it was just it was pretty much they kind of played standard. It's kind of two-gapped everything with the front guys there trying to eat up those blockers and turn those linebackers loose where those guys, you know, could get around. They'll do a little eagling where they'll, you know, they kind of go down the old school kind of 1-3 looks at times. Some bare front, reduce everything down there with a couple of threes and that nose tackle in the middle with their outside backers walked up. So, but not a lot of stunting moving around. You get a lot of, you know, on the backside of that thing, you get some different coverages. It's some man at times. It's some cover two deep safeties, some cover three playing thirds. So, you know, they do a good job of changing things up there. And, it's offensively for us with our linemen across our front because of their size, we're going to have to do a good job on the initial, you know, the initial get off, the initial contact, hopefully get a little movement out there and then make sure we've got eyes on these two inside backers especially and, you know, do some comboing off and sliding as they begin to scrape or feel where they're going to fit. They seem to read a lot of guards when they're in their odd front, so, you know, they get their read off of the guards, and to get them in position, we got to be, you know, be ready. We got to have some pop when we get to those linebackers and trying to get a body on a body on those guys.
Well, it's going to be, you know, they're a very good 6A football team, played a very good 7A football team last week. So they're going to, you know, at full strength, they're going to present their challenges. And tomorrow night, they're going to present challenges. But as Coach Chase Horn said, you know, we're going to go down there ready to play and expecting to win. And that's what we plan to do. You know, the Volunteers come into this game 6-5 all time against Benjamin Russell. So Volunteers lead that. And if you look at the all-time scoring, from it. It shows you how even this matchup has been. I think that total number is 227, but it's the same amount of points scored on each side. I think it's 227 to 227. Which is an odd stat after 11 seasons that your scores are exactly the same offensively. I just thought that was neat looking it up this week. So tells you that it's been an even matchup from the start, and it looks like that's going to be the same tomorrow night.
And there's another interesting stat that I find very interesting in this series. Central and Ben Russell have played 11 times, and Central leads 6-5 in that series. But personally, Coach Horn in this series has 8 wins.
He has more wins than either team because he's won at both places.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That is interesting.
So eight of the
11 wins he won. So
yeah. I mean, of the games that have been played, of all the 11 wins, and there's been 11 winners. Yeah, he has 8 of them personally.
As a head coach
in this series.
That is interesting.
So that's kind of interesting. I think that's kind of
very interesting.
And he also has a couple of other wins against them back from the old Clay County days.
He does, yes. On his personal record, he does. Yep. Yes, he sure does.
Yep. So, you know, been a good matchup for us. We're expecting a big crowd down there tomorrow night down at Ellet City, and we hope you'll make your plans to come. We're going to take our last break. And we'll come back. We'll look at our schedule, how they fared, and also the 5A Top 10. We come back right here on Football Fiesta Live from First Bank Alabama Studios on Ashland Square at Classic Country 90.9.
Perry Land Foods is a locally owned
grocery store. Barr & Associates Injury Attorneys handles a range of serious injury cases, including auto accidents, 18-wheeler crashes, motorcycle and boating accidents, wrongful death, premises liability, and workplace injuries. Their attorneys provide direct legal support throughout each case. Known for professionalism and client-centered service, the firm emphasizes trust and communication. Info is at tpharlaw.com, tpharrlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert. Stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwood is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
At Young's Drugstore, we're more than just a pharmacy. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your first call when it matters most. Young's Drugstore has been serving your family with hometown care for generations. With 2 locations to serve you in Randolph County, Young's Drugstore and General Store is located on Highway 48 in Woodland. The phone number is 256-449-2372. And serving Clay County at the Lineville location on Highway 9, the phone number is 256-396-5632. Proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 and Football Fiesta Live here from First Bank Alabama Studios. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Aaron, as we get ready to wrap up our final segment of the day here on the second installment of Football Fiesta. Coach Weems, I tell you what, Coach Heron, I'm sorry, let's start with you.
All right.
And let's go over our opponents and how they fared last week.
Let's look at it.
And who they play tomorrow night.
That's right. Hanley Tigers fell to our Central Vols last week 26-3 to go 0-1 to start the year. This week they are hosting the Dadeville Tigers coming into Hanley there at Wright Field in in Roanoke, Alabama. Benjamin Russell, 0-1 after a 25-20 loss at Opelika last week. They've got the Thursday night game tomorrow night. They'll be hosting our Clay Central Volunteers. That game kicking off at 7 o'clock. They're at the Sportsplex in Alexander City tomorrow night. The Valley Rams, 1-0 on the year as they open up with a 20-14 win over the Glenwood School, and they'll be on the road tomorrow night making the trip down to, Friday night, making the trip down to Smith Station to take on those that bunch of Panthers down there. The Marby Bulldogs, they begin the year 0-1. They hosted Stanhope Elmore last week, and the Stanhope Elmore Mustangs defeated the Marby Bulldogs 28-6. Marby, they'll be getting on the bus and making a ride down to the Bay Area around South Alabama, be playing at Bayside Academy on Friday night. Sylacauga, 1-0, the Aggies, the other side of Bull Gap Mountain. They pick up a 44-22 win over Coosa Central to go open up 1-0. They'll be traveling to Montevallo to take on the Bulldogs over in Montevallo in Shelby County. Scottsboro, though, that bunch of Wildcats, they're 0-1 as they start the year with a 21-19 loss at Fort Payne. And they'll be at home, their home opener, taking on North Jackson Friday night. Elmore County, they start the year 1-0. They pick up an overtime win at home over the Dadeville Tigers. Elmore County over Dadeville last Friday, 31-30 in overtime. And they'll make the short drive to Tallahassee Friday night to take on those Tallahassee Tigers. Hopeful, 0-1. The Bulldogs of Hopeful, they fell at Trinity last Friday night, 15-14. The Trinity Wildcats over the Hopeful Bulldogs. And Hopeful, with their home opener, they'll be hosting the Shelby County Wildcats from Columbiana. Beauregard, 0-1 to start the year. They lost at home to Wetumpka, 36-19. And they're at home again this week as the Anniston Bulldogs travel down to Beauregard to take on the Hornets. And Pell City, the Pell City Panthers, 1-0 after a 22-14 win over a bunch of Panthers at Pelham. And Pell City on the road again this week as they travel to Coosa Christian.
That is an interesting matchup.
To take on Coosa Christian. It is.
You know, 2 years ago, their coach, Russ Probst, they'll be facing their old coach there as they take on Coosa Christian. Interesting game. Real quick before we move over to the 5A top 10, which one of those games stand out to you guys, be a game? And do you know if any of those are playing on Thursday night?
As far as I know, and I checked and double checked, we're the only game out of our schedule. All our opponents play Friday night.
Okay,
as far as I could find.
All right, if you go into one Friday night, which one of them are you going to?
If I'm going to travel to a game Friday night, I am going to.
Let's not consider driving distance. If you can be at a game easily Friday night, which one would it be?
Myself, I would be at probably Hanley hosting Dadeville.
That's a good one, Coach Williams. Where would you go?
I think I would go up to the new field at Welborn, the newly christened field.
Jeff Smith Field.
The Welborn Panthers open up at home against J.B. Pennington.
Well, even though that's not on our list, Taylor, that's where he's going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's where he's going. He may go anyway, not watch Auburn. All right, Coach Williams, take us into the 5A top 10, how they fared and who they'll play this week.
Well, we'll start out with this week's top 10. We've got a new number one. Moody started last week as one. They lost and dropped. So the new number one team is Vigor this coming week, and they'll be going playing Tuscaloosa County. The number two team, Catholic of Montgomery, moved up, and they'll be playing St. Clair County tomorrow night. The Central Volunteers moved up one spot to number three, and, of course, they travel down to Benjamin Russell tomorrow night. The number four team this week, dropping from number one, is Moody, and they have another tough assignment tomorrow night as they'll be playing the Oxford Yellow Jackets. Number five is another Mobile team, Williamson, and they're going to go out of state and play Wayne County, Mississippi tomorrow night. The number six team, we're back in the North Alabama for the next couple of teams, the Fairview Aggies, and they'll be playing at Springville tomorrow night.
Fairview picking up a 48-0 win last week over Fultondale, a shutout in their first game.
Coach Williams getting excited about it.
And it vaulted them up to number six in 5A.
Sure did.
A solid contender there. Number seven in 5A is Gunnersville, another North Alabama team, and they'll be playing Fort Payne, and that'll be an interesting game for us to keep an eye on because we're familiar with Fort Payne.
Absolutely.
Number eight is Leeds. They'll be playing Shades Valley from over in the Birmingham area. Number nine is Ramsey. You remember they got beat pretty bad last night by Parker, a 6A team. But Ramsey will play Clay Chalkwell. And then jumping into number 10 this week, Corner, and they'll be playing Dora on Friday night. So that's a look at the 5A top 10 and who they play this week.
Coach Heron, anything just stand out to you and jump out at you in that 5A top 10?
Well, to me, it's kind of like college. It's mighty early to be doing a poll.
It is.
You got the names, and you're still putting a lot of things on that. That thing shakes out more about three or four games in is when that thing really begins to kind of take shape.
Looking back at our schedule last week a little bit, now that we know we got just a couple of minutes, if you look, that Fort Payne-Scottsboro game, you know, we played Fort Payne there in the Jamboree game, and we know how tight that was. We'll be hosting Scottsboro a little later. That's an interesting score, back and forth affair, and then Fort Payne coming out on top of that game. You know, that's a game Scottsboro had won big last year against Fort Payne, so I don't know what that tells us. What do y'all think it tells us?
Well, you know, Scottsboro lost some players from their team last year. I don't think they'll be as talented this year, and I think we saw that last week when they lost that game to Fort Payne, but it kind of looks like I don't know if they missed extra points or if they kicked two field goals to get 19. But, you know, we know Fort Payne has a very good kicking game. And, you know, Scottsboro did last year. I don't know if that kicker they had was a senior or not. But it seems to me like Scottsboro pretty evenly matched with Fort Payne there in a 21-19 game.
Well, I tell you, Valley, we look at Valley, Glenwood Academy, they're a good football team. They're 3A, but they're a consistent good football team. Valley beat them last year, too, by 1 point, I think. But that 20-14 win there is pretty impressive to me. And then Pell City with a win over Pelham. Be interested to see that matchup in Pell City at Coosa Christian. I think that might be the one that I would like to see if I was taking a pick out of this group to go see. All right, man, as we get ready to close out, I'm going to give each one of you a chance to say some closing remarks. We're about 3 minutes away from closing this football fiesta out.
Where are we going into this game tomorrow? You know, a couple of things to watch up on the front. You know, when we get into our pool game, traps and counters, we got to keep those things tight. They're not going to get up the field. They're going to do a good job of squeezing down, or our pullers are going to have to be into the line of scrimmage, good and tight on their pulls. We need kickouts and not logs like we had at times last week. And then, our tackle or counter special, the guy following the guard has got to do a better job of reading the block that guard does make. And if it's a log, get on around. If it's a kick out, like it's supposed to be, get up inside. And we got to hit those things and make sure we get eyes on linebackers as they begin to flow and come off of those double teams and combos and get a body on those guys and to have some success offensively.
I think the key tomorrow night, the key to this whole game, is how well some of our people step up. That'll be filling in for the injured people. You know, we've got three people for sure that's definitely not going to play. And our depth is going to be tested. And, you know, there's an old motto, next man up. And that's what we've got to see tomorrow night. And I'm fairly certain the coaches, have worked people in these spots and probably maybe a few scheme changes coming into this game because of new personnel. But that's the key coming in tomorrow night.
Well, we'll hope you'll join us. It's the Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show will be at 6 o'clock live from Benjamin Russell. The ball field down there in Ellick City, Alabama, you'll want to check us there. Kickoff at 7. You can catch all volunteer action right here on the Southern Union State Community College, Clay Central Sports Network, and the Radio Alabama family of networks. Thank you. Until tomorrow night, God bless and go Vols.